See everyone here just for the last Sunday of this year.
Wow.
Move into a new year, and I'm just pretty excited about that. And I think that there's going to be a tremendous blessing waiting for this in this new time and this new season. I really do. We just have so many things coming to their fruition and getting more and more mature and growing. Everything from the school that we now have here to the warehouse to all the dimensions of ministry that we do overseas. It's really been quite a season that we've been in, and I can't wait to see what God has for the year that we're about to enter into. 2000, the year of our Lord Jesus Christ, 2025. Can you imagine? 25. Shinoh, do you think you'd live to be this age? You better. You're not even 70 yet. Neither am I. Getting close, though. Hallelujah. Anyway, let's talk about the Good Shepherd today. Hopefully everybody has a little outline there. And we always like to give you these outlines just so you can kind of track with me. And also, I just think it's nice to have something in your hands just to remember a little bit of what we said. And so that you can kind of meditate on it, maybe even teach a Bible study or teach your family or something like that. Anyway, so I want to just start with this verse, John 10:10. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy, but I came that they might have life and have it to the full.
Yes.
And I really like that passage of Scripture. And that comes right out of John chapter 10. It's sort of the heart of John chapter 10. And I want to just read now some verses in John chapter 10. And we're going to talk about the Good Shepherd. And Jesus called him the Shepherd. In our culture today, it's difficult for us to understand what exactly that means, because we're not very used to shepherds. We kind of have a concept of them. But it turns out in that whole metaphor of sheep and shepherds is an incredible metaphor that's very powerful if you understand it, for understanding how Jesus connects to you, what Jesus thinks of you, how highly he thinks of you, how sacrificial he is, and how he wants you to do well. So very truly, I want to start with verse 1. Very truly, I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way as a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize the stranger's voice. Now, that's just the first part of a lot of things that are in this story. And most of us aren't animal husbandry people, so we don't really understand these dynamics. But this is the way sheep are. And there's lots of characteristics that are characteristic to sheep that are very similar to human beings. It's really quite remarkable if you stop and think about it. And we're going to stop and think about that a little bit today. Jesus used this figure of speech, but the Pharisees did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, "Very truly, I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy." I want to just say that again. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. So anything attached to the devil, anything connected to the devil or what he does, only comes to steal, kill, and destroy. So if it's anti-biblical, if it's not according to the word of God, according to God's will, it's only there for one of these three things. It's going to steal from your life, kill your life, right? It's going to destroy your life. "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters. Yet the man runs away because he's a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd." I want to just emphasize that one a little bit, because in that word, good's far more than it looks like. "I know my sheep, and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen, and I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father." So Jesus came as the great shepherd of the sheep. It's hard to understand that unless you understand shepherd and sheeping a little bit, right? Understand the dynamic. But the shepherd as we're going to see as we just begin to talk about these subjects, is that shepherds everything to the sheep. He does everything. He protects them. Sheep are really, really fragile animals. And the shepherd makes all the difference in the world. Without a shepherd, they die easily. They have a million and one ways to kill themselves. Sounds like humans to me, right? Jesus is the good shepherd, looking after even the smallest details of our life. And so this shepherd protects in the field. He protects, he quiets the sheep so they rest properly. And because of the constant conflict and jealousy that's in a flock of sheep, is it a herd of sheep or a flock of sheep? I think it sounds better to say flock, so I'll say flock. He always is actually spending half his time just making sure they don't beat each other up. And it's hard to believe. You know, if we know nothing about agriculture pretty much, so I have to kind of take some time here, you know. There's just constantly conflict and jealousy between sheep. Does that sound familiar? The shepherd makes the sheep to lie down and be safe in green pastures. Remember that scripture? The reason why he needs to be there is because they're easily panicked. If one of them just runs, all the others will start following him for no apparent reason. They have very little self-defense. They're completely timid creatures, right? And so these sheep really need help, right? And then God calls us sheep, so it tells us kind of where we're at, right? And we like not to think of ourselves that way. We might even think if somebody called you a sheep, you'd think it was a terrible thing, right? It might be an insult or whatever, but there we are. And just as the scripture points out, this is exactly what we're like in many, many ways. In our culture, most of us are not aware of sheep and shepherds. Like sheep, our welfare is fully dependent on the love and skill of the good shepherd. Now, that makes sense in a way. If you think about and know anything about spiritual warfare and the understanding of the spiritual world you're in, I think all of us are aware enough of the news around the world to know that things can be destroyed quickly, life can be snuffed out in an instant, and really negative, horrible things are happening all over the earth, right? And so, interesting enough, our welfare in this very dangerous world that we live in, just like a sheep, is dependent on the goodness of the shepherd. Yeah. And I like Psalm 23:1, the Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. And I love that so much. And we're going to look at Psalm 23 a little bit more. But the Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. Ooh, yeah. Oh, that's good, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
So because he's our shepherd, he's an expert in providing for what we need. Mm-hmm. And I just think that that's extremely important. And the key to living victoriously in every season of your life is discovering that God really has good plans for you, the good plans of Jesus, the shepherd of your life. I love Jeremiah 29:11. It says this, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Boy, the enemy does not want me to say this little sermon. I've got all kinds of clicking going on, man. We've got all kinds of sound thing. Lord, thank you so much. This is going to be such a great sermon. The enemy is just trying to get at me every which way he can. If any of you guys, sound guys, if wherever you are, can handle whatever that little click is, that'd be great for the people in the first row. Now, I got to read this again. For I know the plans, even for the sound system I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you. I like that. Plans to harm you and not, plans to, no, plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future.
Amen.
Now, that's a fairly obscure place for most people, Jeremiah 29:11, right? But that verse is a powerful one. And you read that and you listen to that, and that's exactly God's will for you. The plans he has for us are to prosper us, not to hurt us, not to harm us, plans to give us hope. Don't you like that?
Yes. Oh, yes.
And a future.
Yeah.
I came, Jesus said, that they might have life and have it abundantly. So it doesn't matter. Sometimes I think we get caught up in, like, maybe if you're newer to us and maybe never been to a church in California, maybe never been to a church here, whatever, church is a little different everywhere, new environment, new people and everything. But the basic thing is we're all sheep. We all belong to Jesus. And all of us have good plans brewing in heaven for ourselves and for our families.
Thank you, Lord.
And at the moment that we stop believing that is the moment that we begin to experience our most trouble.
Yep.
Because the thief, the Bible says, comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. So sometimes we think of those, we get those agendas mixed up. Sometimes the enemy tries to take those things and put it on God, that he caused it. I think one of the most powerful things you learn in your whole life is God's good and the devil's bad.
Amen.
And a good portion of the world system is corrupt and bad too, right? Sounds so simple, but it's amazing. That is probably the battle that most of us fight, most of us deal with all the time. And that's one other passage I really love that in light of all of this, Romans 8, 28 basically says, all things work together for good, for them that love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. Don't you like that passage? And we know that all things, God works for the good of those who love him and who have been called according to his purpose. How many things is that? Bad things, good things. Could we have such a good shepherd that he actually overarches all of that? And when you come to Jesus, you're under new ownership. So if you remember sheep and shepherds, it's really helpful, right? Because you really come under the care of the shepherd. And we're as dumb as the sheep. We do a lot of crazy things. If you stay where I've been for a long time as a pastor, you have a lot of contact with a lot of people who do really, really dumb things. And then I find myself doing really, really dumb things. And I try to be smarter, but I end up being dumber sometimes, right? Because we just forget so easily the shepherd of our soul, his will for us, and anything that's in the Word of God is for your blessing and your benefit.
Amen.
It's not to hurt you. I came that they might have life. And what does the scripture say? And have it what?
More abundantly.
More abundantly. Does that sound good? Like a good agenda?
Yes.
Sometimes we get this all confused, right?
Yes.
In Jeremiah's time, the captives taken to Babylon had to adapt to new surroundings, but God invited them to prosper even in their hardship. I just think that's amazing. The worst, very worst could happen to a country happened to Israel, but they still had a shepherd. The only reason why all that happened to them is because they thought they might try on a new shepherd.
Yes.
Idolatry, other gods, didn't work out too good for them. And they deserved to get what they got. But God is so compassionate, he already had the plan brewing of what was going to happen, what he's going to do for them. So I want to read these words to you because I think they're very encouraging. Sometimes we get in that place, you know. We get in a very negative place, either by our own doing or not always our own doing. But look at this. This is at the very worst. This is a nation who's lost most of its people. It's in exile with no hope of ever coming back to its own nation. This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says to all those I carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build houses and settle down, plant gardens and eat what they produce. I mean, they're shocked. I think even that word was like, what? Marry and have sons and daughters. Find wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage so that they too may have sons and daughters. Increase in number there, do not decrease. Also seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I've carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper.
Amen.
Good reason to pray for your government, huh?
Yes.
Yes, this is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. Do not let the prophets and diviners among you deceive you. Do not listen to the dreams you encourage them to have. They are prophesying lies to you in my name. I have not sent them. They are prophesying that Israel was going to go back or this is going to happen. But actually, God had decreed they were going to be 70 years. Spoke it very clearly. This is what the Lord says. When 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my good promise to bring you back to this place. Now listen to this. So a lot of our lives are like this. A lot of our lives are, we go through various things, good seasons, bad seasons, down times. Let's just talk about the down ones, right? But there's always a good promise behind every problem that we have. And that's why it's so good to read your Bible, because there's a promise for everything. Even when we did it ourselves. And a lot of our wounds are self-inflicted. That's another problem with sheep. They have this big problem of self-inflicting their own wounds. They're their own worst enemy. They do the dumbest things, right? It's, I mean, if you actually study this, you realize, okay, so that's part of our problem. Okay, I'm a sheep of his pasture. That's not always an honoring thing, right? But look what the shepherd has in mind for us. This is the key. Now, these guys have totally rebelled. To the place where God had to move them from their own country. He couldn't handle it anymore. But look what he said. Ultimately, here it is. And ultimately, this is what it is for all of us that belong to Jesus, no matter what we're going through. Listen to this. And this is always true. Always. I just want to speak this over everybody here, no matter what you're going through. Listen, this is the Lord's word for you. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. That's Jesus' plan for you. Why wouldn't you want to worship someone like that? Right?
Yeah.
Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back from captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and places where I have banished you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back to the place from which I carried you into exile. Now, the reason for the exile was their own fault. They had actually been worshiping the idols of the nations around them, and they had left God totally. And so when you worship a God like that, any God, especially that's not the God of the universe, that verse comes to mind because it always is true. When you start worshiping at the altar of something else, sometimes it's just the altar of the world that's independent of God. You wouldn't say, well, I'm not going to go bow down to some idol. Oh, there's lots of idols that don't look like idols, money being one of them and a whole bunch of other things. Those idols are anything that controls your life except for the Lord, that you let be the dominant part of your life, right? So in that setting, there's all kinds of horrible things that happen to us, right? But even when we have those things happen to us, we see in this verse, these verses, God's already delivering them from the problem. And I like to say that if you're in some kind of issue, it's interesting because sometimes we have this timeline. We think, you know, that it's going to be a long time before that gets settled, or it looks like really like a bad thing or whatever. But God's already, he's telling them the end from the beginning, starting, you know, even at the beginning of them, he's already telling them what he wants them to do. This is what he says. Look at verse Jeremiah 29:6. Increase in number there, do not decrease. So you're going to go to this place of exile, okay, but even there I'm going to be with you. You're the one that caused it. You're the one that got yourself in this place. But don't stop. You just increase in number. Do not decrease. Verse 29:7. Seek the peace and the prosperity of the city to which I've carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you will prosper. This is why it's so important that we take responsibility for praying for our city and our nation. Amen. It's so important. Now more than ever, just continue to pray for those. The Bible tells us that, to pray for all those that are in authority. I think we've been through a season where we can see where we need to pray for all those in authority more now than ever before, right? That's why it's so important that we seek the peace and the prosperity of the city to which I've called you in exile. And this peace and prosperity starts with good leadership, godly leadership, wise leadership, right? And so they're in this horrible place. Right, they're in a horrible city. This horrible city has annihilated them, has basically brought them and taken them out. But look what he says. He says, you know what? Seek the peace and prosperity of the city. That place where you've been exiled, you pray for it. Oh, yeah. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, what he means by prosper is not just that it financially, he's talking about if it does well, if it's got good government, if it's governing its people well, guess what? You're going to do well too. So no matter who's governing in the White House, this is always something we should be doing. Yeah. And I can tell sometimes when I talk to people, this is something I believe that we're going to have to do more and more and have to be more and more mindful of. I mean, I was so excited about you guys this last year. We had two all church prayer meetings. One was on the National Day of Prayer, and the other was right before the election. And this place was absolutely packed. And it was packed from wall to wall. And the intercession that was going up at those times, we have never experienced and never had that happen in our church on that level before. So you were doing it. You were seeking the prosperity of our nation. You were praying for it. You were interceding for it. You were doing exactly this passage. So we should always be looking for restoration into an even better place and a better relationship with Jesus. We should always be looking for more, not less. The reason why is verse 11, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Isn't it nice to know that? God always has good plans.
Good plans.
Why would he die for you if he didn't have good plans for you? Why would he go to the trouble of resurrecting from the dead if he didn't have good plans for you? Why would he send his spirit to live on the inside if he didn't have good plans for you? The biggest battle that most people have with God is they just don't think he has very good plans for them. They think of them as religious plans, limiting plans, plans that limit my ability to be blessed and free and all that. And it's just a lie from the devil himself. I came that they might have life and have it abundantly. It's just in one little corner of your life. No, in every corner of your life. You name it. In the end, you'll find out that God has plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you what? A hope and a future. And this is a really critical passage to understand. Then you'll call on me and come and pray to me, and I'll listen to you. You'll seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I'll be found by you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back from captivity. And sometimes in our captivity, when we get captive to something or we're in a really bad place, it's just so important to realize that when you seek me, you'll find me.
Yes.
Sometimes the fire comes and that mobilizes us a little bit. If it's mobilizing you to pray more, keep at it. Don't give up. You're on the right track. You're going the right direction, right? You're not praying as like, okay, I don't know what else to do. I think I'll try prayer. Man, I'm telling you, if God didn't answer prayer or if he wasn't interested in you, he would say so. He would say so. Why worship a God that you can't depend on? But all these promises are here and there for us. And all these examples are here for us so that we understand what he really has in mind for us.
Amen.
Psalm 27, 13 and 14. So David had a few problems with enemies and betrayals. And he went into the king's service and the king chased him out and tried to kill him. And had every kind of problem you could imagine. And he wrote these psalms. A lot of the psalms that he wrote had to do with his problems, things he was dealing with, and how God was coming to him, right? So here's one of his conclusions at the end of Psalm 27. And maybe you've had a especially difficult time this year. Here's a great promise for you. I remain confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. So heaven is good, but our life is about more than heaven. It's about having heaven to earth. That's why I pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, heaven's going to be a lot better than earth, I know. But in the meantime, we need to make sure that we keep calling down this blessing like David did. After being chased around the county over and over again, out on his country, threatened on every side, betrayals every side, disease, sicknesses, all of it. This is what he says. You know what? I remain confident through all that stuff.
Yeah.
I will always see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I like that he added that word, in the land of the living. Not just in heaven.
Right.
In the land of the living right now, right?
Yeah.
Then he says this. And this is what he had to learn to do. And sometimes waiting has a long fuse and sometimes it has a short fuse. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart.
Yeah.
And wait for the Lord.
Now,
sometimes that fuse is a little longer than we'd like it, and sometimes even shorter than we could imagine. But nevertheless, this waiting for the Lord is well worth it. And how do you wait for the Lord? You keep walking with him. Do what he says in his word, and you use this thing he invented called prayer. My. If I could just get on a whole sermon about that, and I usually do, so I won't. I'll stop. Here's one. You have not, because you ask not. Simple as that. But we think, well, what do you mean by ask now? I asked one time. Well, then he said this, keep on seeking, keep on knocking, keep on asking.
Amen.
So he means for you to keep on asking about that thing, keep on knocking, keep on seeking. And there's other scriptures like that explain how we pursue God in prayer. And then think of this, when you have a journey to take in the Lord in prayer, think of it this way, you're going on a journey to learn something new, to actually inherit more blessing, not less. Whatever bad trip you're taking is going to come out the other side, and you're going to have more abundance than you went in going in if you don't give up. That's why he said, I came that they might have life and have it abundantly. Bad time for you as a sheep today, but it's not meant to be that way. It's meant to move into a new season. And God will take you there as the faithful shepherd of the sheep, right? Faithful shepherd. And he proved that he would do it by one thing. What was that? Does anybody remember? He let himself be killed for you. Murdered on a cross, taking all your weaknesses and your sins so that you receive him. All you have to do is say, Jesus, I receive you into my life. Thank you that you prove you're God by rising from the dead. Now, please forgive me for my mistakes. And he forgives you. And it's the blood of Jesus that forgives you and covers it all. So that brings you back into the good graces of the good shepherd. Simply, he didn't make it hard. He used to have to offer animal sacrifices to be right and blood of animals and these complex rituals, and he made it simple. I'm the Lamb of God. I shed blood for you. Now ask. Receive me and ask. Receive me and ask. So look at Roman numeral 2 on your outline. What is it that we're looking for in this life? I think most of us are looking for the God of peace who will always be with us, even the worst of times. And we say the God of peace in Hebrew. That word peace is a very fascinating word. It's the word shalom, and it includes every area of your life. It's not that you just have inner tranquility, but to the Jews, peace meant your whole life. every part. May there be rest in every area of your life. Peace in my thought life, peace in my family, my household, my money, everything. It included everything. So when they said peace to one another, when they passed the peace to one another, when they said peace to someone, they were talking about their whole life, right? So we're all looking for this peace, even in the worst of times. And I love this story so much. It's about Paul, and he gets captured in a certain city, and he's having a little bit of problem, but he's been thrown in jail in Philippi. And about midnight, Paul and his friend Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. So why were they singing hymns? Now, they're bolted down to the floor. They're in a jail. And they weren't kind jails. They were not air-conditioned or heated. The jail was a place, you died, okay, fine. God must have wanted it that way. Those are real jails, right? Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. Did it anything have to do with the shaking of that prison and their worship and praise? I think so. At once, all the prison doors flew open and everyone's chains came loose. The jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted, "Don't harm yourself, we're all here." The jailer called for lights, rushed in, and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. He then brought them out and asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" He'd been listening to them preaching and singing, and they said, "Well, I think I'll join you guys." They replied, "Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you'll be saved, you and your whole household." Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all the others in his house. At that hour of the night, the jailer took them and washed their wounds. Then immediately he and all his household were baptized. So the jailer brings them a meal. They go to the office. The next day, they send them to the magistrates, and they tell them to release these guys. And the magistrates released them, and they were terrified, actually. They said, "Go in peace." But Paul said to the officers, "They beat us public without a trial, even though we are Roman citizens, and threw us into prison. And now they want to get rid of us quietly. No, let them come out themselves and escort us out." So he threw a little spice into the whole thing. They escorted them out, and then on they went their way. But what were they doing when this incredible supernatural manifestation happened? They were worshiping. I think things shape when you worship. We didn't just come here to hear good music. We came here to worship the Most High God. Yes. But the truth of the matter is, when you worship, you're doing spiritual warfare. Oh, how do you know that? Well, the devil hates it. You won't find him lurking around much when there's worship going on, right? And lots of times we hear things. We hear the Lord's voice. We hear all kinds of things. We pray for each other. There's all kinds of grace on us, right? And so in our worship, lots of times I can just feel things falling off of me. And sometimes it's amazing when you just continue to worship and have extended times of worship. It's like your attitude changes, but then even your circumstances are liable for change. I think this story is trying to say a simple lesson, and this happens all over the world. There's something about worship that we do. It's not just like, hey, here we are. This is our tradition. This is kind of what we like to do, you know. And then we grade the worship leaders 1 to 10. I thought today was a 10, Chris. And anyway, you know, we're all doing that, all that silly stuff and everything. But the most important thing is you're standing there before the Most High God, right? And you're worshiping the Most High God. And that's a critical thing. And that's why when Paul writes the letter to the Philippians, he writes this, Philippians 4:4, "Rejoice, Lord, always. I'll say it again, rejoice." Well, this is to the Philippian church now that started as a result of his worship in jail. So he's saying, "Rejoice, Lord." So they remember the whole story. He was worshiping in jail, and then all of a sudden this explosion happened. "Rejoice, Lord, always." He says, "I'll say it again. Rejoice." You know, they all got the point, right? They understood. "Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near." But this is for us too. You don't have to worship today. You get to.
Amen.
And you get to every day.
Yes.
And as far as we can tell from the evidence here, it causes supernatural activity in the heavens. Something shifts. God likes that. The enemy hates it. God likes it. "Do not be anxious," then he says, "about anything. But in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God." Then, so there's this worship and thanksgiving, and there's this petitioning. "And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is true, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you've learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. I'll tell you, that God of peace, that God of shalom will be with you. Wow, we talk about this at Christmas time, peace on earth, but there's nothing like the presence of God to still your soul, to cause your sheep-like heart to finally settle. Sheep are so timid that they are their own worst enemy. They do everything wrong. They run in the wrong direction. They eat the wrong things. They're always going the wrong direction, right? Worship helps us center. It helps us get back. It helps us to find the shepherd, right? So strengthening our peace. Well, here's the first part. Make a choice to rejoice. Second part from Philippians 4:5. A spirit of gentleness and forgiveness. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. So he wants you to treat the other sheep nice, including the members of your own family, right? These are prescriptions for blessing, by the way. Yeah. Luke 6:37-38. Look at this. Do not judge and you will not be judged. Mm-hmm. Wow. That's a really big one. Don't want other people judging you and criticizing you on your back? Well, make sure you don't judge them first, or keep a judgmental spirit out of you. Do not condemn and you'll not be condemned. Forgive and you'll be forgiven. What does it mean to be forgiven? It's a very powerful thought. There's only one that can really, truly forgive, right? But it's nice when other people let us off the hook from time to time too, isn't it, right?
Yeah.
But when you have a forgiving spirit, you'll be forgiven. You'll be let off the hook. And if you're mindful at all about walking with God, you'll find out that there's a few things that are wrong with you as well.
Oh, yeah.
It's nice to know all that's covered, because the thing is, with every sin, there's the chance of an invasion of the enemy who only wants to steal, kill, and destroy. So it's better not to get involved in negative things, negative thoughts, negative words, because it's an open invitation for the devil, which still exists, to ruin your life, to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus said, I came that they might have life. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy, right? So it's important. These passages of Scripture are incredibly relative for us today. Matter of fact, one of my favorite ones is in Luke chapter 6. He says, do not judge, you will not be judged. Do not condemn, you will not be condemned. Like I said, forgive and you'll be forgiven. But here's another part of it. Give and it'll be given to you. Give and it'll be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. We just went through Christmas. You ever have that little measuring out you're doing? Well, see, last year they gave me this, so I should probably do this, you know. Nobody else did that, I guess. Okay, well, anyway. It's interesting when you go shopping, you figure out your relationships really, really quick, right? Ah, it's okay. That'll be fine. You know, no problem. Oh, I think I need to really give a special. Okay. But look at this. Here's the whole thing. Look, you don't have to go through all that.
Amen.
Forgive everybody and you'll be forgiven. But give, it'll be given to you. But not just in any way. I like the multiplication thing here. It will get a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. All right. So this is because the God you worship is a good God, right? So as we were mentioning at the very, very beginning, we called him the Good Shepherd. So he truly is good. And as you just walk with him and do what he does, he brings his goodness and mercy on you, good measure. Pressed down, shaken together, way more than you give. That's why the Bible says it's more blessed to give than to receive. It's not like some kind of philosophical statement about how you earn a few points. And it is better, because God can't resist. He just seems to multiply whatever you sow. If you can sow bad things and reap them, you can also sow amazing things and reap those. This whole thing of walking in God is a lot more positive than people know. If you don't walk with him much, you don't know how good he is. But once you discover how good he is, you can't stop walking with him, talking to him. It's amazing how we stop talking to God. The reason we stop talking to God, that's called prayer, by the way, is because we're disappointed, discouraged, or we don't think, well, that's going to work or whatever, you know. Oh, my gosh. If prayer is the open door to all the things that it says it is, we're like dumb if we don't pray, because the door is wide open. The only thing that makes the door wide open is the blood of Jesus, the great shepherd who takes you under his wing and provides you with the tenderness that he does those sheep. Because it turns out that Sheep are a little bit silly. They have a few problems, right? They're always getting in trouble. They're always timid. They're always on the wrong side of things. And if you just think about them for a moment, if you do anything about them, their dysfunction is legendary. They run things. They find themselves in trouble. They get on their self back in a place called the cast sheep. Like, my soul do not be cast down. It's actually that literal word is sheep on their back is a cast sheep. Guess what? If a sheep gets on its back, it can't get up again. It'll die in its gases if it lays on its back too long. So the shepherd has to always be watching that one of these guys hasn't eaten too much and fallen on his back. We got to turn around and put him back up. I wonder how many we got on their back today. Man, I found myself on the back the other day, and I thought, man, I got to get off my back. I'm going to die in this stuff. Woo, these gases, too much. Not literally. So, I like this part. Paul's praying, and he's talking to the Philippians. And not that I desire your gifts. This is Philippians 4, 17 to 19. What I desire is that more be credited to your account. I have received full payment. I have more than enough. I am amply supplied now that I have received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent. They are a fragrant offering and an acceptable sacrifice pleasing to God. Then he says this, and my God will supply all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. And I think that's really, really important, all you sheep out there. And I want to just read that verse again, because I can just say this. And I want to just think about your whole life for a moment, where you're at now. Because I think if something goes wrong for long enough, you think, scratch it off the list and say, well, 90% of my needs will be taken care of. But the promise is more than that, right? And my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. So that's an incredible invitation to keep pursuing the Lord until we receive the all. Which brings us to point number 3, hopefully on your outline there. We can learn to persevere in the constantly changing landscape of our times. Every day is a challenge. The only constant is that we live by faith. And this greatly pleases the good shepherd of our souls. So Hebrews 11:6 really helps us understand God a lot. So, and this helps you understand the journey of your life. And without faith, it's impossible to please God. Now, when do you need faith? When everything is going perfectly? No. So evidently, there's a lot of things that don't go perfectly that we need to exercise faith for, right? A lot of fears, a lot of worries. That's why it says, and without faith, it's impossible to please God. You see our predicament? Without faith, it's impossible to please God. But what do you need faith for if everything's perfect and doing great, right? Amen. So without faith, it's impossible to please God. So he expects you to trust him, to believe him as the good shepherd. And it's important, the good shepherd. Not just as the shepherd of that great power in the sky that you have to like twist his arm to get you to do something. No, he's already there. As a matter of fact, he's good measure, pressed down, shaken together there. He's even beyond the request that you're asking, right? But without faith, it's impossible to please God. So there may be some downtime because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who what? Yeah. Earnestly seek him. So this is part of our journey with the Lord and the Good Shepherd, earnestly pursuing God, consistently pursuing God. That's why in the tenses, in the verbs, when it says ask and will be given to you, good, seek and you'll find, knock and will be open to you, actually if you would translate those literally, it means asking, seeking, knocking. In other words, do this all the time. Keep asking, keep knocking, keep seeking. Why would you do that? Why didn't he just listen to you the first time? Because you're a sheep. I need to take you on a journey because you've been much too afraid and you've been experiencing too much of the enemy and he wants to make you strong so that you don't keep making the same mistakes and keep falling in the same traps. He does it for your welfare. Amen. He takes you through things so you'll be stronger and stronger and stronger. You won't be intimidated. You won't make dumb mistakes. You'll stay close to the shepherd. Listen to what he has to say. Stay close to his words, right? And so we learn this over time. It's more easy to walk with God. In the beginning, it seems like all this stuff I'm giving up and all this place I'm going, all these things that I'm, you know, wow, it's just too heavy a demand. I don't know if I can do that. But as you move along, you go, this is a lot easier than it was before. Because, you know, here it is. I came that they might have it abundantly. And then the Bible says the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. Who's the thief? The devil. So he's then his agenda is to steal, kill, and destroy for you. Jesus' agenda is to have life and have it abundantly. So why join the wrong team, right? But there's this one thing in between those two, and it's called faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. So there's a time frame sometimes for our things. And in those time frames, what happens is, as we're praying for things, we just learn more about the Good Shepherd. Actually, what happens is, in this whole drama of life, what happens is, by the time you get a little bit further in life, you realize, and this is your journey you should be taking, the journey you should be taking is how good God is.
Amen.
How absolutely good God is.
Amen.
That's the conclusion you should come to. You know, and like, I'm a little older now, and I don't know if you noticed. I've been noticing, but I tell you what, I got to say truthfully, despite all the stuff I've had to go through in the past and things I deal with, I feel better about my life than I ever have. I feel more positive about the future, where I'm headed. And I feel right in the hand of God's will. I'm moving to a good place. And I actually begin to experience that passage, all things work together for good, for them that love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. Because God's a good shepherd, good-hearted shepherd. And he watches over his people, even though they're dumb as sheep. He watches over them, right? Which, that's not an insult. That's actually just the way it is. And fortunately, you have a smart provider and a smart shepherd. So I want to read Hebrews 10, 19 to 23. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence into the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way open for us, through the curtain that is his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful.
Oh, yes.
He who promised is faithful. He who promised is faithful. You know why you should read your Bible a lot? Because it's got all these promises in it. So you're not even sure what you're supposed to pray. But I look at the Bible and I just go through every one of them. Every time I read the scriptures, oh, that one's for me. That one's for me. That's for me. That's for me. So I read the Bible to find some more good news. That's why Jesus said, believe the good news. It wasn't just the good news of his coming the first time and forgiving your sins. It's the good news. Every day you can find a new promise that exists for the people of God, right? And so every day is a challenge, but we live by faith in those challenges. But we also find that God brings a faithfulness to us. And so we hope unswervingly, right? And let us consider, verse 24, how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. So the problem is, sometimes we forget all that good news, and we need somebody to remind us. That's why we come to church. We sing songs that remind us. We talk to each other and remind us. The sermon reminds us. That's why you come. It turns out that we actually leak pretty easily. We get filled up, and then we leak. We fill up. Easily. We walk out the front door, something bad happens, we slam our finger on the door, whatever it is, you know, and there we are again, right? Oh, you know. And so we just got to stay out of that place and not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, because if you should get anything out of a service, whether it's a few believers or a larger group, we should be encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. What's the day? When Jesus comes back. So we stay connected to each other to encourage our faith. It's absolutely critical. And he says here in verse 32, remember those early days after you had received the light when you endured a great conflict of suffering. Sometimes you were publicly exposed to insult and persecution. Other times you stood side by side with those who were so treated. You suffered along with those in prison and joyfully accepted the confiscation of your property because you knew that yourselves had better and lasting possessions. Okay, so I don't think anybody's gone through that lately. I hope you haven't. Mostly if you fall into jail these days, you're in there for the wrong reason. But even if you should find out yourself in there for whatever reason it is, right? Even there, you can find God. Plenty of apostles and disciples and people have found themselves in these low conditions. But regardless of the situation, then Hebrews goes on to say this, and this is really cool. This is what this sermon's really all about. Don't throw away your confidence.
Oh, yeah.
It will be richly rewarded. So it says, you've been suffering, you've been persecuted, you've been in jail. But here's the one thing. Don't throw away your confidence because it'll be richly rewarded. Don't throw away your faith. Keep on believing. Keep on looking for the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. David said, I would have despaired unless I believed I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. That shepherd we're talking about as the sheep, that's his main job, is to help you be encouraged, to get you up off your back when you fall on your back and can't get up. You're wandering in the wrong territory, to help you. Sometimes he warns you, but he's always there for your benefit. He's the great shepherd, and you can be confident in him. And so the sheep have this tendency to be very confident in the shepherd. They listen to his voice. Occasionally they get out of whack, but for the most part, they prosper that way, right? When he tells them to move, it's time to move. When he does this, that, and he protects them, and so on and so forth. I just want to say this again. Don't throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded.
Yes.
Mm. So for whatever reason, God's put this kingdom together so it's built on faith and trust in the good shepherd of the sheep and that his goodness for you. And he's always accessible by this one thing called what? Prayer. Like, you can ask just wherever you are. And the great thing is it doesn't require weird sacrifices or unusual stuff, right? All right. God takes pleasure in a life lived by faith. And so that's something you have to understand. That's why sometimes these things happen, because it glorifies you, God, when you give him the right answer to your problems. Because my righteous one will live by faith. Even Jesus lived by faith. You don't live for yourself. And I take no pleasure in the one who shrinks back. Guess what? God has this little interest in a whole bunch of people in the world. Some are on the side of the earth. Some are your next door neighbor. And he wants those too. Guess what? And he uses you to do it. So we can't be shrinking back because somebody else falls because of us. We have assignments all through our life to help people be lifted up and encouraged, right? And so that's why we live by faith. It's not just for ourselves, but it's for others. We do not belong to those who shrink back and are destroyed, but to those who have faith and are saved. Those who have faith and are saved. So we don't shrink back, even when we're experiencing great trials and tribulation. We just press into the shepherd. And it's not nice to know that we're sheep, because actually sometimes, as we've explained, sheep are pretty helpless creatures. But many times, and I'd venture to say, if I were to take a little poll here, how many of you today feel hopeless in a certain area? It's just, you're just totally bewildered. You don't know the answer. You don't know the way out as we come to the service today, right? So that's when we live by faith. We don't shrink back. We just keep pursuing until we find the answer. And hopefully you go through enough of those cycles that no matter how bad the situation is,
yes,
you actually, faith doesn't waver, and you believe and you're watching for the way out. I don't like to stay in trouble 10 minutes longer than I'm supposed to.
Amen.
But I do know that God's good and he does provide the way out. So if I'll stay connected to him, I just might find the way out earlier this time than waiting to go through this entire cycle of unbelief, distrust, the whole thing, right? Why don't we just be smart sheep, trusting he's going to take care of us, and say, okay, God, I'm in a mess now. Why don't you show me the way out? I'm ready. I believe you said, by the way, remember what you said? You said, I came that they might have life and have it abundantly. That this thing right here that I'm going through right now, it's not so abundant. So what up? What do we need to do about this? And the interesting thing about it is, and God will take you by his side and say, well, we're going to take a little walk. And so we start taking a little walk with God. And as we process with him and as he walks through the problems, we begin to go, oh, yeah, I forgot about that. And he says, son, the only reason why I'm showing you all this stuff is because I would like you to have more, not less. I came that you might have life and have it abundantly. And you keep letting the devil steal this and take this out the back door while I'm giving your blessing in the front door. Why don't you just shut the back door to that? So I know it's going to be hard because you really like that back door a lot. But why don't you just shut that door and try me for a while? Because I came that you might have life and have it abundantly. That thing you thought was the end of your life, the most important thing in your whole life, it's not the most important part of your whole life. I'm the most important part, right? I'll take care of that. Believe me. And I'll take care of this, and I'll take care of that, and I'll take care of this all at the same time. So you don't have to keep suffering because, man, you're dumb. He doesn't put it exactly like that. But I've come to that conclusion. after watching the dumb things I've done in my own life, and then watching all the dumb things that you do, and by the time you come up with the equation, you realize, whoa, we really are sheep after all, but we're loved sheep, lovable sheep, and also ones that God loves so much that he shed blood for them and is looking for them, always pressing for their good. I came that they might have life and have it abundantly. Amen?
Amen.
Let's all stand. One of our most wonderful lifelines to the Lord is not to jump over Mount Everest, not to fast for 30 days and 30 nights, not to try to make, you know, something happen on our own, but just simply say, Lord, I'm in a hard place now. I realize that I'm probably one of the reasons why I'm in this place, but nevertheless, please forgive me. And then you get to the good part. Now that I've agreed with you, I'd like to agree with you about a couple other things. You said, if I would pray, if I would agree in prayer, if I would lift this up to you, that you would answer.
Amen.
You said, if I asked, sought, knocked, ask, seek, and knock, you said you would open the door for me.
Oh, yeah.
As I was speaking, I was thinking about all kinds of doors that need to be opened. For some of us today, for as we approach this new year, financial doors need to be opened. Maybe a new job, new opportunity for work. For some of us, we approach this new year, there's a family issue. Family issue of those closest to us that needs to be taken care of. Those close to us need to be healed and blessed. Some of us, those closest to us are not doing very well walking with the Lord. Their marriage is wavering, there's trouble, and they need blessing. There's all kinds of things, all the gamut, those closest to us and then our own private life. And the great thing about it is that God opens this door as the good shepherd to take care of us, to listen to every part of it, to be generous with us way beyond what we deserve, even into abundance. I like to pray about things, but I like to even pray about them even more. I like to think of it as, Lord, I need this, but Lord, and just take a chance, you might even do it today. Lord, I pray for the good measure, pressed down, shaken together, my life in this new year. I pray, Lord, you would help me to see that, to believe for it, to pray for it, and to not do dumb things that just keep taking away, keep cooperating with the thief. By the way, there's two here agendas that we got to take care of today. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy, so let the Lord show you which way you've been cooperating with the thief. But I came that they might have life and have it abundantly. Every area of our life, finances, relationships, whatever it is that's in your heart. I always feel more tender toward the Lord as I go to the first of the year because I think of it sort of as a starting over time, but I also think of it as sort of a time that I could pursue the Lord in a new way for things that maybe didn't get answered the last year. It's a new year. So it's kind of a natural thing, maybe a supernatural thing to say, it's a new year. It's a supernaturally new year. If you didn't love me so much, it wouldn't be a new year. It'd just be an ordinary year. Because you love me, because you died for me, resurrected from the dead, because you sent your spirit inside of me, because you love me so much, I know that every day is a new time. But as I go into this new year, I trust you, Lord, for new things and a new season. I'd just like to invite anyone who would like to just take maybe 4 or 5 minutes just to ask God for a new thing for the new year. If you'd like to come up here, and maybe if you'd like to agree with in prayer somebody, maybe some of our prayer people could come up and just line up here and we could pray with them. I think it would be a nice thing. You don't have to say 15 minutes worth of prayer. Just agree with somebody. Jesus even said this. If you really want to pray, he said, if 2 or 3 gather together and pray about anything they agree, it'll be done for them, right? So maybe you want to find a person up here to pray with. I'll pray with you or maybe some others and pray for yourself or pray with others, whatever. Just come up here and just lay your life out before the Lord and tell him what you need, okay? Lord, as we come today, there's all kinds of requests. Some of us will stay in our seats. Some of us feel bold. They want to just make sure they pray right as we're into this new year. And I pray for, like David, I would have despaired unless I believed I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. So I declare today over everybody in this room, the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living in the year 2025. 5 being the number of grace, in Jesus' mighty name. Tell him what you need before you go today. Do some business with the Lord right in this lovely place that we are, and ask him where it's easy. Just ask him, Lord, remember me today. Just tell him. Tell him all that's in your heart, but tell somebody else and they'll agree with you.
Thank you so much for joining us here today. It was so great to have you with us. If you have any questions about our church or if you need prayer in any way, please visit our website at vineyardln.com. See you next time.